Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
It's a total privilege to have an award-winning filmmaker, Scott Orris, join us to talk about his latest venture, Rap Dixon, Beyond Baseball, a legendary Negro League player, and we're going to hear about the film and the great player coming up in just a moment with Scott telling us all about him. My name's Darren Hayes, and I know you've heard me on the Pigskin Dispatch talking about football history for years. Well, now I'm on a new mission, a quest to find sports history in other sports, as well as football, by learning through the jerseys and the apparel and the gear that the players wore and the franchises supplied their teams. It's an educational trip, and I'm taking you with me day by day, player by player, uniform by uniform, the Sports Jersey Dispatch.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my sporting friends. This is Darren Hayes of the Sports Jersey Dispatch podcast. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to all things great in sports. And we have a real privilege today. We're going to be talking to director Scott Orris, who is making a movie about a baseball player that started a century ago in the Negro Leagues, Rap Dixon. His name of his movie that's going to be coming out is Rap Dixon Beyond Baseball. And without further ado, Scott Orris, welcome to the Pigpen.
Thank you, Darren. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, Scott, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe, you know, tie in how you became interested in old legendary baseball players and especially Rap Dixon.
Okay. Well, it ties back. So when I was a kid, I grew up as a big fan of baseball. I always loved history, and I blame Ken Burns for that. So
great film, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. The baseball series by Ken Burns. That was my introduction to the Negro Leagues, really, and served as my primer for everything else that would, you know, that would feed off of that and, you know, reading books about the Negro Leagues and whatnot. So whenever I was in college, I originally got a degree in history. And later on, I went back for a degree in film. And I was in a documentary class, and they came to us and they said, hey, I know a Negro League baseball player. He was part of this team called the Harrisburg Giants. Would you be interested in possibly making a movie about this or something? I said, and I heard about this, I'm like, oh wow, like, it's like, yeah, because I grew up with the Ken Burns series, and I went to the Baseball Hall of Fame, I played Little League and whatnot. I was like, oh wow, I'm ready for this. Yeah, like, let's do it. And the fact that they said about the Steve, the Harrisburg Giants, I lived in, you know, central Pennsylvania my entire life, and I had never heard of this team. And I was like, how could I not have heard of this team? And if I haven't heard of this team, who else hasn't heard about this team? So from there, I was like, I have to do this. And I launched into it and made There Were Giants, played at the Harrisburg Hershey Film Festival. And, you know, the players came that I interviewed, the surviving members of the Giants. And it was a big deal, won the audience award, most popular film at the festival. And then, you know, played at the Kansas City Film Festival. It was endorsed by the Negro League Museum, played at the Baseball Hall of Fame Film Festival. So, and then it got on Shorts TV, the cable channel and stuff. So, and now it's for free, so anybody can watch it. Like, so
why don't you, while we're talking about, why don't you, so people can be introduced to your films, especially, you know, the favorite four-letter word of many people, free. Why don't you let people know again the name and where they can find it, and so they can see some of your stuff.
There Were Giants on Vimeo. So if you go to my page, my production company, Lineage Line Films, and I have a Twitter page and a Facebook page for those. And if you go there, you will see the link for that film, so you can watch it. It's a documentary short, it's 18 minutes long. So and you know, I talk about rap briefly in that film. But there was so much to unpack with Rapp and his career, and really the fact that he was overlooked for so long because he died before baseball integrated. He died in 1944 as a young man in his early 40s. So he didn't really live long enough to really talk about himself whenever all these Negro League players started going in the 70s and stuff like that. So he was kind of left behind somewhat. And it wasn't because when you look at his numbers, you look at his stats, you hear the legends and the accomplishments that he had, you're like, oh my gosh, like, you know, why isn't this guy in the Hall of Fame? You know, the Negro League All-Centennial team that was named, he was the only one out of the 19 position players who was not in the Hall of Fame. And he's on that team. He's considered on the greatest Negro League team, you know, selected team of all time, but he is not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. So there is a movement locally, you know, to get him. And we, others, major historians have joined us on this journey to try to get him enshrined in Cooperstown where he belongs. And I'd be glad to talk about all of his different legends if you'd like. But yeah, there is so much there to unpack. And whenever I heard about, and I dug into it, because I really call it getting into the weeds, because when you do research and, you know, because you originally draws you to it, and then you have, the hooks as you continue. And like with Rapp, it just kept going. It was like bottomless. It was just like players of all time. So I just kind of really identified with him and really got interested in his story, and I needed to tell it. So,
well, why don't we start? Let's put it in rewind for a second. Why don't we start beginning with Rapp, where he's from originally, and how he became connected with your Harrisburg Giants that made the connection to you?
Well, yeah. Well, originally he's from Kingston, Georgia. And so he grew up, I think he was born, 1902. So he was born there in Kingston, Georgia. And his family actually moved. They were part of what was called the Great Migration, from many African Americans from the South up to the North around the turn of the century, to find work. And they found work at the steel mill in Steelton. And that's actually where Rapp and his brothers forged their work ethic that, you know, served them well in baseball. And I would like to say, you know, Rapp's brother Paul also played in the Negro Leagues and actually played on a lot of the same teams that Rapp played on. And Rapp would take him with him traveling and whatnot. So they had a great bond.
Now, I was doing some research when I invited you to come on, just doing a little bit of background on it. And it was interesting when you said that, you know, Rapp at the young age and his brother and some of the other family members working at the steel mills, there was a story of him picking up the steel ingots and throwing them to where the cranes could get them.
Yes.
And if you could talk a little bit about that, that's an amazing story.
Yeah. He would throw these things, and that's how he forged his arm. I mean, that's how he developed his arm strength. It's like people now, if they, you know, we're lifting weights, we have this regimented program or something. No, I mean, like, he literally, like, that was his training for his arm, was throwing those things because they were heavy, you know, and he's wailing these things. And I have a whole story about him. And Ted Knorr has proven this, that actually Rapp Dixon has the best arm from the Negro Leagues. There's like a run saved by arm stat that if you go through in seam heads that, Rapp Dixon had the best throwing arm from the outfield in the Negro Leagues. And there's a lot of people that can testify to that too, in stories. And also, I'll get to the whole, but the trophy that Emperor Hirohito gives Rapp Dixon when he's touring Japan, his first tour by any team from the U.S. to Japan. And it's a Negro League team, Philadelphia Royal Giants. They played California Winter League. He won this trophy for for putting on these feats of strength. And Leo Syke Burnett, who played for the Harrisburg Giants later and was good, and he was kind of his mentor. He coached him in whenever he was Harrisburg Giants. And he said that Rapp said that he asked him, he said, well, how'd you get that trophy? I got it for doing what I do best. And he said, well, what do you do best? He said, I had the best arm in baseball. And he said, do you want me to, like, talk about it or shut up. And he said, shut up, don't tell anybody. And that was Rap Dixon. Rap Dixon was a guy that kept to himself, that was really close with his friends, but he played the game for his own satisfaction. He did not play it for adoration and fame and whatnot like that. But he knew himself that he had the main. And more you dig into it, it's like it's like shot out of a rifle. Like his arm looks like it's shot out of a rifle or something. Like all sorts of descriptions that I'm just like, wow, this is like so one of the greatest outfielders of all time. In fact, Oscar Charleston, who you might have heard of, he's usually considered like probably the greatest Negro League outfielder. He's one of the greatest players of all time. He was his teammates in the outfield, also coached him, and he picked all time. Like when he put him in his place in center field. Cool Papa Bell, who I'm sure you've heard of, another great Negro League outfielder, a teammate of Rap Dixon's many times. He put him in his position in his all-time team, saying that Rap Dixon was the greatest outfielder, in my position, Oscar Charleston was willing the best outfielder he ever saw. That was Oscar Charleston's words. So there's opinions and legends that point to Rap Dixon, the growth that he had.
Yeah, when you have your peers that you're playing with and the peers that are the best at the leagues that you're playing in, and they're the ones that are talking about you and replacing themselves in their own position with you, that player's got to be pretty good. And going back to what you said a little bit, I mean, that's outstanding when you have somebody that's got that much talent and they just show it on the field. And they're very humble about it when people talk to them about it. That's a very attractive quality of anybody, but to be a superstar player like that and, to just respect yourself enough to say, hey, I'll do it on the field and, don't tell anybody about it. But that's remarkable. So that's must right. be a great individual.
Yeah. He would never talk about himself. I would ask Psych and Psych would say, nope, Rap was a quiet guy. He wasn't going to say anything about himself, but he would praise because Rap coached baseball. He was big on coach. He loved coaching baseball and youngsters and stuff growing up. He was coaching, little league and youth baseball. And then he would coach, semi-pro, Struthers AC and stuff, going into the late 30s and early 40s. After he was done playing himself. So, but Psych would say, he would praise a lot of guys coming up, that was Rap. He was all about, and he would go on and talk about Oscar. He'd talk about Fats Jenkins and stuff, never wanted to talk about himself. So I just was like, that's Rap Dixon. Like that's who he was. Yep.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Now we know his, Rap is a pretty uncommon name, and his God given name when he was born, Herbert Alfonso Dixon. Now, yeah. Do you know, how did he come up with the nickname Rap?
Well, there's a lot of different stories on how that happened. I could tell you the one, India Garnett, who is Rap Dixon's niece and Paul Dixon's granddaughter, believes that it was from the Rappahannock River. So I don't know if that had to do with when they traveled from Kingston to Steelton or what, but or he traveled there often or whatnot. But they believe that it's Rappahannock from the family's perspective. Ches Washington, a sports writer, interviewed Rap about this, and what Rap was is the sound that his bat made when it hit the ball. It was, the sound it made, it was like a rapping, and that's how he got the nickname Rap. Players gave that to him because he was always rapping the ball. There's other, those are kind of like where it comes from. I asked Psych, who's, has unfortunately since passed away. There's not many people. In fact, I'm not sure. I think there might be one surviving person that might still that have known Rap Dixon personally, basically Rap was one of these people that he, whenever he was traveling and stuff, the we know is really for sure, it seems to be from either playing or it's the travel, because he did travel a lot. And that might be part of it too, because whenever I've interviewed people, they have said like, you know, oh, he traveled. And that, so yeah, he's a, that's what I've heard. It's just well,
so,
basically.
So I guess maybe just to sum it up, I mean, he had a few different avenues to be rap, be a good name for him, and they all fit. And, you know, you put those round pegs in the round hole and you come up with Rap Dixon. So it's,
yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
It's a cool name too. It's great. You know, you never hear it. It's really cool.
Well, there's so many great names from back then, right? It's like, you know, Cool Papa Bell, and, you know, even, you know, it's like Babe Ruth had like Sultan of SWAT and all these things. It was like, these guys were kind of larger than life, and that's what I always liked about it. So, yeah.
And then you got guys that are just cool. They could just use their name like Josh Gibson and, you know, just
be. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's all he needed.
Yeah, that's all he needed. And a good bat, right?
For friends. Yeah, they traveled together. They played for the Concordia Eagles together, the Pittsburgh Crocs together. Yeah, there were. And Josh was very young at that time, and Rap was an older player. So, but they were very good friends. So yeah, from what I can tell, they seem to have been on a lot of the same teams, and whenever it's believed that what was it, the Denver Post tournament, when he was coaching for I think the Trio All Stars, from what I kind of a bond between Gibson and Dixon, so.
Huh. Very cool. I guess, I mean, that's probably a tight-knit group, you know, especially a lot of those players, you know, Rap and Josh Gibson and Cool Papa Bell, they moved around from team to team and played on multiple different teams, you know, a few different of the leagues, even of the, you know, Negro leagues. They were plural, different leagues. And so I think they all became friends in between all-star games and tours of Japan and everything, you know, probably got the little a lot of the guys on different teams. All right. Well, tell us a little bit about what prompted you to want to make a film about Rap Dixon?
Well, it's like how his career was just so, he had, there's so many incredible accomplishments that he had in his career. It's like I was talking about earlier, like the Japanese tour, you know, that tour was the first Negro League tour, and it was the first American baseball tour of, and like any baseball team from America in 1927. And when they went over there, the team was Philadelphia Royal Giants, Biz Mackey, the Hall of Famer, the Hall of Fame catcher, Rap Dixon to go. And they go over there and they play super well. They lose like one game, you know, on control that they didn't argue about or anything. And that showed like their sportsmanship or whatnot. The Japanese people were very impressed by their sportsmanship and how gentle they were. There's a baseball historian named Akima that wrote about this in a book called Gentle Giants, it's argument that it's actually this tour that led to the Nippon for 36. A lot of historians credit the Ruth tour in 34 as being the catalyst, but I think that those went back farther than that. And from what they were actually not very impressed by, well, they were impressed by the skills of the major league players, but from what I've been reading is that they weren't impressed with their behavior. So you know, they were a little bit arrogant, a little bit like, you know, let's show off how great we are, and stuff.
And Babe Ruth was probably looking to see where the closest sake bar was or something, probably.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. and you know, I mean, like I said, you know, they carried themselves really well, and so the last game, they were like kind of the fans and stuff were kind of clamoring for them to kind of show off like what they could do and whatnot. And so Rap Dixon put on kind of a display of some of the things that his spectacular abilities, like he stood on home plate and threw balls over the outfield fence, like the center field fence or where he,
wow,
could sort of, you know, like I said, that arm, you know, that arm, he could really go with that arm. He ran the base back in half seconds. He actually had a home run in, I'm trying to remember the name of the stadium, Kinoshi Stadium, where he hit it farther than anyone out of one of these stadiums. They actually put a white mark that had his name on it, and it was there forever until they tore the stadium down because it was just they don't really want to take it down because he was just such a disregarded. I mean, there's like little animated cartoons that you can find of Rap Dixon putting on these feats of strength or what. You know, it was like he was just like, it's like amazing. So I'm wondering, because everybody debates on this trophy that he got from Emperor Hirohito. And there was a Loving Cup trophy that the won. And there's this like, well, did the team win the Loving Cup trophy? Or like, it's like, is the Loving Cup trophy the trophy that he gave Rap, Emperor Hirohito? Or like, is it, because Leo Psych Burnett describes the trophy as a jeweled trophy, a smaller trophy that has jewels all over it. It's not a Loving Cup trophy. And he says that that's the one that Emperor Hero gave Rap. So, India Garnett says it was a Loving Cup trophy. So I'm trying to sort that out. If they're both being honest, which I completely believe they are, I two trophies. And I think there was a team trophy that was given for their accomplishments of the whole team. That was a Loving Cup, because we can see that. That's in a picture. You can actually see that he's holding that they're holding like Bismack. He's holding that and stuff. You can see that trophy, that we know that trophy existed. And that trophy apparently was in India Garnett's family and in the Rap Dixon's niece. So apparently they don't know what happened to it. Apparently one of their relatives had it and someone's working there for them. Apparently possibly stolen it or something, like a young person that was, yeah it's just one of those like sad things. So but yeah, it's like one of the most sought after things is to solve this whole thing with the trophy and stuff, because apparently it did happen. I would love to track that down, you know.
Well, you never know, things like that pop up, you know, all the time. Somebody, you know, has it in their basement or attic or something, forgets about it, and some generation sells it at a garage sale, and you know, a baseball historian someday maybe you'll find it and put where it belongs in the, you know, Hall of Fame or something, you know. So hopefully right next to Rap.
So hopefully and so another great thing about Rap that I, you know, one of his legendary accomplishments was the fact that he had 14 consecutive hits. So it's a baseball record. It's better than the major league record. And this has been codified. We have gone through this. So in 2006, when the Negro League's authors group was electing players for the Hall of Fame, they didn't have that information. So they knew that they knew of the 14 straight hits, but they weren't actually put in the stats, all of them. And whenever you put all of them in, since you know, he hit 415 for that year. So in 1929, you know, so he was that good. I mean, it was
kids playing t-ball don't hit 415, you know.
Well, I mean, we're all amazed, you know. Ted Williams hit 406 or something, and it was like one of those. He was like the last 100, I believe, and in the majors. And, you know, Rap hit like 415, you know. It's like, so this, you know, we talk about DiMaggio, right? The 56 game hitting streak, you know, we got at least one hit in 56 straight games. It didn't get him at every at bat. Like Rap got at 14 straight at bats, he got a hit, which is like ridiculous. You know, I mean, yeah, I can't even imagine that. I mean, it's like, you know,
it's like four straight games or something, you know?
Yeah, it was. And the interesting part about that is that he was actually beaned before that. They actually had to, before that he started the streak, he was actually beaned and basically carted off the field, like in a stretcher, like from not being able to play it. And he comes back later in the game and finishes that game somehow. I mean, that's what was then. They didn't have deep benches. So it's like he had to go in there and it was, and then the game after that, he started that streak.
Well, don't let too many major league hitters hear that, because they'll be trying to put their head in front of a pitch to see if they get that same result. But wow.
Right. It's like luck or something. Right. Yeah. I don't know. But, and we've actually looked at, you know, each of the pitchers that he faced and stuff, and they were all Hall of Fame caliber pitchers, basically. So it was just like, I mean, there were a few of them were Hall of Fame, or in the Hall of Fame. So,
wow. So they were live arms that were throwing to them.
Yes. Is what I'm saying. Like, it wasn't like they were just, you know, teams or something. Apparently that was like real, like good pitchers were pitching to him when this was happening. So it just makes the streak. And to even, you know, push this further, he actually had 16 straight plate appearances from walking like twice after that. So it was like,
so he gets on base by getting beaned, has 14 straight hits, and then gets walked twice.
And that's a record, apparently, 60 straight plate or a tie. I'm trying to remember if that ties a record or that is a record, but I'm pretty sure that's a record for a plate appearances where you make on base, where you're on base. The hits, better than major league. The major league record is 12.
Jeez, so, that's remarkable, but 14's, you know, out of this world. Wow.
Yeah, and that we've you know, and the major leagues have said this, that Negro League stats are now Negro League stats, you know, and the fact that now it's not all of the Negro League leagues. It depends on the year, and it depends on, you know, it's like, so, but it's a lot of them, and from what we're finding now that this is considered major league, a record like that needs to be, you know, in the Hall of Fame beside Joe DiMaggio or something, you know, I mean, that needs recognized. And that's what we're really fighting for here, is really a lack of recognition of Negro League players.
Well, damn it. Somebody needs to make a movie about this guy. Oh, wait, we do have somebody.
How about that?
you convinced me. My question, I said, why would you make a movie about it? You got a whole bunch of ammunition here of why. But you said something before we started recording today.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about how, you know, his connection from Georgia coming up to Steelton, which is near to your home. And when somebody, why don't you tell that story when somebody asked you to about Rap Dixon?
Oh, you mean like, so like, well, the fact that I had never heard of him previously.
And that's the story.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, it was the same thing with science. It was like, you know, cause people, you know, brought him up to me and like his statistics and stuff, and me being from Harrisburg and the Steelton area and not hearing about it, I'm like, well, how could I, if I haven't heard of it, you know, how many people have heard of it? I mean, this is a story that has way with the Giants team. So, and Rap was the part that was, to me, was the most interesting, because there was so much that he accomplished, like I've been saying and stuff. But this guy, Rap Dixon, never even heard of him. You know, I was the first time I ever heard of the Giants movie, like talking to him about it and everything, and he brought him up and he's talking about it. I'm like, I've never even heard of this guy. Who is this? Rap Dixon. And I was like, he went through all of these things that I've been going through with you and stuff, and I was like convinced. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, why is it, this is like the greatest baseball player that nobody's talking about, like, you know.
It's like those hidden unicorns that you never hear about, and then you hear about these great players, and it brings the excitement of sports and sports history and baseball history to make you feel like a kid again. So that's awesome. So I'm glad that you're doing this. Yeah. Now, what are your plans? What sort of, do you have like a timetable laid out for when the film is going to be completed?
I'm planning on it being out. It depends on the festival window that I make. I'm launching a crowdfunding campaign. I'm hoping to launch it in October. That I can, you know, finish the film up and everything. It's in a pretty good state right now as far as the editing goes and whatnot, but I definitely need some finishing funds to help with the license of various that. So I'm going to try to funding the fall, and then I'm going to hopefully either get it out spring, summer 2023 or early 2024, you know, like winter, spring, that time. It depends on the festival window because there's very specific like deadline, and to make, sorry or not, I make like certain deadlines for, yeah, that's what I'm saying right now. So,
okay.
I'm
sympathize with you because I don't know if you're aware, but my friend and I, Oz Davis, we have, a podcast audio drama out on Orville Mulligan sports writer, where we took a fictitious sports writer from Pittsburgh and he bounces around to different things in 1924. Cause it was a great year for sports, especially the fall of 24, game 7 of the World Series in Washington. It's first time it goes extra innings in game 7, and the Four Horsemen of Notre Dame, and just a bunch of different things going on in the sports scene. So we've got some boxing, some wrestling, and baseball and football going. So I can sympathize with you of hitting deadlines and writing things out, and your best laid plans sometimes are you overshoot them a little bit. You have to stretch that out a little bit. Cause it's quite a task.
That's why I gave that. I don't want to like mislead anyone and that it's like, oh, no. Like it's definitely here. And everybody said, it's like, where's the film? Like, where's it? You know, I don't want to do that. So that's why I'm being honest.
I don't blame you. Wise to do that.
Yeah. I'm just, where it is, I'm kind of a one man band here,
Right. So, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you make me promise when you get closer and you have some definite plans where people can see it. Now the people can go and see your other film that you got out there for free. And I'm going to ask you to probably send me the email links that we'll put it in the show notes for the listeners to find that film. But then when this film Unwrapped Dixon comes out, send me the information. We'll definitely put it up on our website. We'll say something in the podcast about it. We'll get it out on social media so that folks can know where to find it. So I promise you that we'll do that if you send me that information.
Oh, I can do that. That's no problem.
Well, Scott, we really appreciate you coming on today and talking about Rap Dixon, sharing the history that you know about him, and enlightening us on this truly amazing player. 14 at bats. I'm still astounded here by that. I'm dumbified here by it, but we're really excited to see
the greatest accomplishments in sports.
Yeah. We're excited about seeing the Rap Dixon film, but we're excited to watch this one on the Harrisburg Giants as well that you have out now. So Scott, I appreciate you coming on and joining us here on the Sports Jersey Dispatch podcast.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been a pleasure, Darren. Had a great time.
Sorry, but my pitching coach just called timeout and he's coming out to the mound. I think I'm going to get yanked for a reliever. We'll see you back tomorrow for some more great sports history on Sports Jersey Dispatch Podcast. We invite you to check out our websites, jerseydispatch.com and pigskindispatch.com. Not only see the daily sports history, but to experience the preservation of great events and people that play the games. Find us on Pigskin Dispatch. It's also on social media outlets of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel. Get all your daily sports history. Pigskin Dispatch is happy to be associated with the Sports History Network, the sports headquarters of yesteryear, found at sportshistorynetwork.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football, Through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians, you'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.